welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, it is a joy to be back in, with you in the house of God here. We're very active in many ways. We did a lot of walking. We do a lot of reading. We do a lot of praying. And through that two-week period, we were challenged with the Word of God on many occasions. And so many of those things, you know, if you listen, when you read the Word, the one way to make sure that you don't try and interpret the Word with your intellect is to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who doesn't come here, but it comes here. And from there, it alerts your whole being, and you hear it. So listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He will lead you into truth. That's what Jesus said in John 14, John 16, that's what he'd come to do. He'd come, the Holy Spirit was coming, and Jesus said the reason he is going is simply that the Holy Spirit would come. That's how important that was. He didn't want Jesus to go, but he said, I'm going for a reason, that the Comforter would come. It's important for you that he comes, because he will lead you into truth, into truth. There is no grounds or no need for any Christian to be led astray, to be deceived. It's not just a matter of reading this word, because I can tell you this. Scripture tells me in 2 Corinthians that the natural man cannot understand this word. Though you can understand the English, you cannot understand the life of it. Because the Bible says it's spiritual. It's spiritual. The natural man cannot understand it. It's spiritually discerned. In other words, you need the Holy Ghost in you. And then you've got to listen to his voice. And so we're going to just turn to the word for a short while this morning. I was going in another direction. I had been dwelling in an area of Scripture, I'll not tell you particularly, and I just felt, wow, Lord, I must minister on this when we go back, and I felt that was where it was at. And it was last night, and I was praying over today and talking to the Lord about this morning, and he dropped another scripture into my spirit, and I knew that I'm to minister on it. So that's what we're going to do. And it's very interesting, because whilst I wasn't going to go this way, in all of our walking and stuff, we also would go into a hotel room, and we would, where we had opportunity, switch on the news. And we had opportunity to really, and we focused ourselves on when we could hear what's happening on a daily basis, with what is happening, with all the wildfires, with all the temperatures that were developing, temperatures in Europe, temperatures in the best, this is the best summer we've had for centuries in our country. The temperatures throughout Europe, which are in the 30s and the 40s, right across it, temperature higher beyond there. Wildfires, some in Ireland, in England, 17 separate different wildfires burning away in Australia. Help is coming from New Zealand to help the Americans in their firefighting of those fires. Thousands and thousands and thousands of square acres just scorched. And within all of that, we listened when we had the opportunity and watched when we had the opportunity. He gave us opportunity, I suppose, to pray to and look to the Lord concerning those devastations. We saw pictures of people. Maybe you saw some of the same shots as us just trying to protect their house from the fire. Unsuccessful. It was totally unsuccessful. And then they started to open up more, and they would bring in experts, and they discussed, and scientists, they discussed all this that's happening. And without me trying to sound scientific in this arena, because I'm not. What I clearly heard and clearly deduced was simply this. They were saying, this is going to increase. And man is responsible for this. We have done our own thing. We continue to do our own thing. We've made reference to Donald Trump, who pulled himself out of the French agreement to try and combat, to try and put reservations on how much fuel is burnt and so on. Man has caused this. Man has created the circumstances that now exist where these temperatures are so high. And the scientists, there were several from different countries, shared, I'm just giving you a cross-section, shared that this has gone too far now. Man has not the ability to stop it. This is going to carry on, and it's going to get worse until the point of no return is passed. I don't want to be scary in what I'm saying, but it was a very clear picture. If anyone knows your Bible, you'll know the Bible talks about a time coming when this very earth will be burnt up with fervent heat. It's arriving at a time. I'm saying all of that not to be a scaremonger. I'm saying all of that to say that the scripture that God just put in my heart last night was a scripture concerning what our attitude should be when we see these things approaching. And this is a very clear, evident sign, one of many other signs, of the continuing approaching day of the coming of the Lord. So I propose in the next 15 minutes to half an hour at the outside, I just want to read two passages of Scripture, and then I want to touch two verses of Scripture, one on each one, if that's okay. So let's turn Bibles to... first of all, let's go to 2 Timothy, and chapter... No, let me take you the other way around. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:11, I think, first. 2 Peter chapter 3. First of all, I'm going to read all of this chapter to you. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. It appears to me, and more I heard and my knowledge of the scriptures, that while God flooded them in the first place, in the first dealing with planet Earth, the second one is going to be, I don't know which is the worst, burnt. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment, are being held back, and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Have you ever thought about that? God's day is a long day. Day with the Lord, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. Think of that. One day with the Lord is long enough to take me right back and begin with my ancestors as far as back as they started, to follow through that line right up to me and on past me to those who will yet come before this time. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. That's the Apostle Peter referring to a time that's to come and giving us some simple instruction. I'm going to go back to that. Can we go to Second Peter, Second Timothy? Would it help you if I told you that Second Timothy is after First Timothy? No? 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to read all of 2 Timothy. Of course, 2 Timothy is written by Paul the Apostle, written it to the young pastor that's in training, Timothy. Verse 1 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. For I am already, this is Paul speaking, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. You know, I should stop there for a minute, where Paul says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. There was a custom. It was where an offering was given unto God at the meal table, and they would take the wine and they would pour it out and on the ground, just an offering to the Lord. And what Paul said here, I'm already, he, Paul the Apostle, I'm already being poured out as an offering. Can you imagine that? Imagine a jug full of wine poured out empty. He's saying, I am being poured out. The very innermost being, everything that it takes. You know, while we're away, it was quite warm. We said we did a lot of walking and so on. And I became aware that this affects you after a while, physically. It wasn't much longer later than that that I became it affects you mentally. It slows you down here. And I could go on to describe that in a number of ways. And we need to be mindful of that. And there's an enemy out there wanting to deceive us and saying, oh, carry on, you're fine, there's nothing wrong, oh, just good. What do you do wrong? Who are you? But here's Paul saying, I'm being poured out. Everything that constitutes Paul the apostle, it's being, if you like, turned upside down like a big can with an open bottom and everything, and it just emptied out. That's everything that you are, just being poured out before God. If you wanted me to say it another way, it's simply saying this. Paul was saying, I'm already being poured out. All that you are is being laid out before God, for God, an offering to Him. That's what he's saying. I'm already being poured out, an offering. I want to tell you, if we're unwilling to be poured out as an offering unto God, we need to back up and say, am I ready for any eventuality that may come upon the earth? Because I do believe the Bible is true. If you don't believe the Bible is true, you haven't got to worry until the moment, if it is true. But I promise you, this word of God will never fail, will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will never pass away. It shall surely come to pass. The good, what we think to be good, and what we think to be bad will come to pass. I'm not scaremongering you. I'm beginning to share some of the things that what's already starting to overtake us needs to have us talk about. If I don't do that, I am irresponsible as a pastor, as a shepherd, as an instrument in the hand of God to look after his flock. We need to start thinking outside the norm now. If we are not already taking this word so seriously that we lay ourselves out before the Lord and let this word live within us. Verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Christians from Galatia, Titus from Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchment. Isn't it wonderful how personal this communication is? This is this man living before God, living with those contemporaries of his time, like you and I might be, where we talk to each other, whether we're talking about the things of God or talking about our own things. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. It's just Paul the apostle speaking. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Well, when Peter comes out with a statement like that, you know it's acceptable. That means I would hate to be Alexander the coppersmith. I'm serious. I really am serious. Keep short accounts with one another. The bottom line is love one another. Scripture says, owe no man anything but love.
That's the bottom line. You'll have no concerns about what might happen to Alexander the coppersmith or yourself if you love one another. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. I'm leaving it there because they're just greetings at the end. Before I move on, I want you to turn in this passage that we've just read to a verse. And the verse I want to turn you to is verse 8. In all of this that God through Paul is doing into communicating to you and I, if we have an ear to hear, if you have an ear to hear and do nothing with it and forget it, then it's going to be to your loss. If you have an ear to hear because you believe and do something about it, then you're going to be so well off. He says this in verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me, says Paul, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Now, this passage opened up with him saying, I am already being poured out as an offering. He was able then to go and say, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, says Paul, on that day. But listen to this. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I want to tell you what a wonderful invitation, reminder, we are being given by Paul the Apostle throughout the generations since this epistle was written to those that believe. He's saying to us, for those who are looking forward to his appearing. You know, I remember in the early days when I would be away on ministry a lot, and Hillary would have all the children. But every time I came back, I came into a house that was spick and span. The woodwork was shining. The atmosphere was warm. Everything was laid out and ready to receive the wanderer. Hillary had gone out of her way to prepare that for me. Do you understand? What God is saying to us here, he's preparing a place, a welcome for all of those of us down here who look forward and love his presence and his appearing. I want you to grab that. I want you to grab that, not just in the light of what I started to share with what's happening to our planet already, but I want you to grab that as a Christian. Is that me? Am I looking forward to his appearing? Where is this on my calendar of events? Where does this fit in to my 24-hour day? Where does God find a place? Where is God given a place? Where do I seek his face that I may be able to better a better instrument in his hand through the word? How often do I feed myself on the word? Because the Bible says man doesn't live by bread only. Only his body does. His spirit man lives only by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the Bible tells us, and Paul is warning us in this verse 8, that there is a place for those of us who love his appearing, waiting not just a place, but somebody waiting to greet us and to put a crown upon our head, a crown of righteousness. Let me take you to 2 Peter. 2 Peter and chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and just want to pick up one verse here. Therefore, 2 Peter chapter 3, let me go back to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, but the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Verse 12. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens, hallelujah, and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I take you back to verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, you should underline that. It's going to happen. Will be dissolved. What manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? I want to leave those things with you, and I'm going to close. I sense that this might be the start of looking at the second coming of the Lord and see what the Bible says about that. There are so many views about that time, the form it takes, and so on. But I sense that I've responded this morning briefly the way I have, because it's what God put in my heart last night. But I also sense that it's time that we started looking at what is before us in terms of the second coming of the Lord, and when. Is there a rapture? You know, the world, as the church age has been so diversified over many, many years, pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, mid-tribulation, rapture, no rapture, pre-rapture, post-rapture. Wow. So I think we should look at that, because this is the days in which we're living. And you know, we are privileged to be here today. You've heard me say, as God took the New Testament church and he birthed them with 120 disciples, 120. It was 120 went in that upper room. God spoke to them and says, tarry there and I'll meet with you. It wasn't all the disciples that went there. There was 380 that didn't go, minimum. 120 did. And there, out of these, the Holy God was able to begin with them, because they didn't do it. They came, yes, sir. That's their attitude. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I hear you, Lord. I'm responding to you, Lord. Count on me, Lord. I love you, Lord. You who first loved me, I love you. I'm available. And they went. And as they were tarried, the Bible says, you just read on in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 and see what happened. As they tarried there, God responded to their response to him. And he supernaturally, hallelujah, came upon them and equipped them with the ability to be his instruments. As the Bible says, cloven tongues of fire sat upon their head and the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Wow. And the New Testament church was birthed. It's taken over the world from that day to this. Hallelujah. Every part of every corner of every planet has born again believers in it today. Glory to God. And men like Peter and Paul that we've been reading about were the people that laid down their lives on what for them must have been an ordeal, which they can't see anything on the horizon. All they can see is opposition. And you may just find that that's what you find life to be, all opposition, all opposition. Oh, how if God's God, why doesn't he help me? God is waiting for you to look to him. God is waiting for you to respond to him. Act like his God. You know, some people have yet to learn about receiving the blessing of God. God says, I will bless the righteous. Is he a liar? Every born-again believer, the Bible says, has been made righteous. God says, I will bless the righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if he says he'll bless us, then we are blessed. So it's no good me going around saying, oh, it's all right for you. If you knew my soul, oh, yeah. There's no, what's blessed about that? Declare I'm blessed of God. I want to tell you, when you start confessing who God says you are, instead of who the devil is making you believe you are, your life will change, will begin to change. I promise you. Faith, how does faith work? Faith works because you believe God's promise. That's where it works. And if you believe God's promise, and if the promise, say healing. If you believe healing, the Bible is healing is in the atonement, and the Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. For instance, just take that scripture. So if I was healed, I'm healed today. I'm healed today. Where does sickness come from? I have no question that sickness only comes from the devil. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't have a question. People will debate that, and I don't have a problem with that. I have no question sickness comes from the devil, and I hate him. I hate him. And when it comes on my body, or Hillary's body, and people through the years have said, how is it with you? How is it you never have this, or never have that, or never have that? Well, praise God, it's not that they don't come, it's what you do with it. And what you do with it is you believe the word. You stand on that word in your own life. And the next thing you start to do is twofold. On the basis of the promise, you confess what God says about you and not what your body is trying to tell you. And the second thing is you act like you're healed. That just me. Oh, I've got a bad leg. Oh, it's really bad. You pray, I've prayed for it. Yeah, I've been prayed. I say I'm healed, you know. Well, do everything within your power and might to walk like this. And you'll soon find that you're doing it. You're forgetting who lives inside of you if you're born again. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is your enabler. When you line yourself up with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is obligated to go into action on your behalf in your circumstances and change them. Glory to God. That's why Jesus says, I have need to go, that he will come. I don't know how we got there from heavens and the earth being burnt with fervent heat, but praise God. Yes, I'm simply saying this. I've given you two scriptures, and there's many more. And I guess the bottom line of this is, sit back and take a measure of your Christian life. Sit back. That's between you and God. For instance, the two scriptures I've given you to meditate on is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Chew on it. Have a look at it. See how you measure against it. The other one I gave you is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Read it. Chew on it. See how you can respond to that, because it's real. The ideal is that every day our life is a walk with Father. Every day. And it begins with love. Love. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.